The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We made it all the way to Friday, people. Dom, not yet. He'll join us, though. He's not sneaking away. He's just joining us fashionably late, as is his custom. Dom joins at 4 o'clock. You can join at any time. We got our pal Rich in Madison lately screening the calls at 844-967-2789. But, Rich, I ducked out early. I am getting an early start on my weekend projects. I've already been laboring diligently this afternoon, you know, trying to get a head start because it's supposed to be beautiful out this weekend. And I'd love to get on a boat or at least feel like I'd made some progress on the painting of the Jordan Love boat. And I know I had a lot of you interested in the Love boat and the painting outcome. I'm not even close to being done. I do have a new tool. We'll talk about it later. I found an orbital sander to love. My newest tool. I've never had an orbital sander before. Other forms of, powered sanders. But this one's round. So anyways, I love my new orbital sander. I've been using it this afternoon. Much better than using Crudy's elbow grease. So get a little head start on painting the boat. And, you know, watching the monitors here. I've got the Foxy News on. I'm snuck up to Washer County, one of my favorite places. Got a little lake place here. But I got the Foxy News on the TV because Donald Trump and MAGA Mike Johnson are going to do a little speechifying this afternoon on election integrity. And this should be good. This should be good. So there could be some broccoli. And I don't even know what you call MAGA Mike Johnson. You know, a side of Brussels sprouts? We'll feed you your vegetables, perhaps in the 4 o'clock hour, we understand, a little bit later today. But this should be interesting. And Trump, of course, going on trial on Monday. Trump's on trial. I think you've probably heard about it around here. So that's an exciting thing. And I'm very excited for what may be the only Trump trial before the election. So I hope Alvin Bragg is going to be up for it. But that's Monday. And you know what else is Monday? And we try to be civically engaged around here and encourage you to be civically engaged around here. But Monday is kind of a big day in the whole elections world. Monday is the first to circulate nomination papers for the fall general election. So if you want to qualify for the ballot, there's some steps you got to take. And part of that is you have to go and get qualifying signatures. You have to go and collect people's signatures, and that's how you qualify for the ballot. And that can be, you know, some work, folks. That's the hard work. That's the first step of being a candidate. And I would say so often, you know, you look at these higher elective offices, you know, Biden's got lawyers and people like that, and Trump does, I'm sure, as well. You know, probably lower quality lawyers, but going out there and making sure their candidate is qualified for the ballot, doing whatever the necessary steps are in a specific state. Kennedy's team taking the steps, my understanding, here in the state of Wisconsin by getting the prerequisite number of qualifying signatures. Again, I suspect that work will be done by volunteers when you talk about the big campaigns. But what about you know, like a state assembly campaign? What about somebody that's thrown their hat into the race, a citizen that wants to be a politician, or at least thinks, I can do better than these bums are doing it? Well, there are new legislative maps here in the state of Wisconsin. There are lots of reasons for you, and I'm talking to you, to look yourself in the mirror and say, can I do a better job than the current representative in my district? And if you think the answer is yes, well, starting on Monday, you can take the necessary steps to qualify. So this is something of an encouragement. If you're thinking about it, do it. Do it. I don't care what race you're getting into. I think it's worth the civic effort. But then comes some work, folks. Then you got to qualify. Now, if you're running for the assembly, my understanding, and I don't have all these memorized, but if you're running for the assembly in the state of Wisconsin, I believe you need 200 qualifying signatures. Well, it's a hell of a lot less than it took to try and recall Robin Voss. It will take a lot more than 200 votes to help you win election, at least if you're running for assembly. But the qualifying number of signatures are 200. And I would say that does not seem like an insurmountable threshold for a single individual with no volunteers, no friends or family even helping. If you're going to go run for office, you should go knock on more than 200 doors. And I would encourage you to go and get as many of your own signatures as you possibly can. I believe Tommy Thompson, and I'm not always a big fan of Tommy, but, you know, I do admire the fact he did love the state of Wisconsin. And Tommy used to go out as part of his campaigning. He always thought it important that he collect a big number of his own signatures. And when you run for governor, it's like 2,500. I'm not sure if Tommy collected all 2,500, but a couple of hundred signatures, if you're not willing to go and knock on a couple hundred doors, you really shouldn't be running for office. And, you know, we all love the idea of, you know, well, if I could serve, if I had that power, I could do a better job. But you got to convince a lot of people that that would be the case, or you never get that opportunity. And part of that is the door knocking thing. And the gathering of volunteers, finding out if there are supportive people that would back your efforts and help you. And eventually money plays in. But I think much less so when you talk about like a assembly campaign in the state of Wisconsin, or maybe even a state senate campaign. You'll need some money eventually, but not from day one. First, you got to go get your signatures. Think about it. Consider it over the weekend. I want to make this sort of a 3-day. And then let's think about some of the people that have served the state of Wisconsin historically. And I use that term loosely when I reference Scott Walker. I found this article just moments ago. Well, a little bit ago. Written yesterday. The Wanker issues commentary at the Washington Times. He's got a platform, you know. So here is what Wanker had to say. He starts it as thus. Why do so many liberals hate America? I can tell you this, you know, sentiment like this is why I hated Scott Walker. Why I've called him the Wanker for years. It's very hard to try and reach across the aisle with a guy that leads a commentary like this out of no particular reason. That's just how he thinks. Now, here's what he says. Why do so many liberals hate America? Perhaps their minds would be changed if they visited the regimes so many on the left praise and saw the failures of socialism firsthand. Is that the problem? Yin-Mi Park is one of our speakers at the Young Americas Foundation. You know, the Young Adolphs I occasionally mispronounce. But Wanker's cashing big checks heading up this foundation of the right. You know, anti-indoctrination of the youth by getting them properly indoctrinated as the right kind of youth, the right-thinking youth. But anyways, back to this Yunmi Park. Wanker says she and her mother fled North Korea and eventually made their way to the United States. In her first year at Columbia University, she decided to speak out after many of her classmates kept talking about how much they hated America. Ms. Park loves our country and suggests these students travel to North Korea and other oppressive regimes to see how good we have it in the USA. Really? No one's going to do that. No one's going to do that. No one's traveling to North Korea to expand their horizons, wanker. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, Ms. Park spoke of the promises made to her ancestors about equity. Give up your land and rights and you will receive equity, they were told. Now they were equally poor and oppressed, while the elite have the power and resources. You ain't doing so bad, are you, wanker? Back to crapping on the liberals. Most liberals in elected office are obsessed with gaining more power. They believe the power of government, while conservatives trust in the individual, family, and of course, God. Liberals want to concentrate power, while conservatives want to distribute it to hardworking taxpayers. You know, tax cuts. There's always the promise of a tax cut. So many liberals seek to gain power by pitting one group against another in their plans. You, Scott Walker, literally told the billionaire widow Hendricks your plan was to divide and conquer the state of Wisconsin. You know, first come after the public sector unions and then go after the private sector unions. And he did exactly that. He's the guy that divided Wisconsin. I would remind him. But here's what he says. Years ago, Marxists tried that approach in the United States. It did not work, as we are not a class-based society. When did we have Marxists here that had any demonstrable influence over governance? I don't recall that ever happening. Now back to his heroes. He always wishes he was. Ronald Reagan was born in an apartment without running water. His family never lived in their own home. He went to a community college. Did he finish, Scott? Yet he went on to win the largest electoral victory in American history. His leadership revived the American economy and brought an end to communism in Eastern Europe. President Reagan's achievements remind us that anyone can succeed in our beloved country. But apparently he's the only one entitled to love this country. He tells us, today, liberals seek to divide Americans, not by class, but by race, sex, and gender. They seek to demonize those who do not follow their rigid philosophy by calling opponents racist, sexist, transphobic, and other names, regardless of the topic. Well, I mostly just call you wanker. Come back. We are the devil's advocates. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Crudy snuck up to the lake. A windy Washura County. You can join me. Dial us up. 844-967-2789. Dom joins at 4. You can join right now.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny. In,
and then I watch them roll away again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Love it when we do Fridays. Dom will be along soon. You can join us now, 844-967-2789. Friday is for airing of the grievances. Now, next week, consider running for something. You can start qualifying. You can start collecting ballot signatures on Monday. Sort of a big day, that and tax day. And, oh, yeah, Trump going to trial. Donald Trump will apparently do a news conference, air quotes, with MAGA Mike Johnson. And the topic, apparently, election integrity. I know it's hard to say. So we may give you a live listen-in on that. We're monitoring the vice president supposed to speak in Arizona in light of the Arizona Supreme Court ruling that happened earlier this week. And I'm monitoring a commentary piece, an opinion piece, of Scott Walker. And this guy, the wanker, loves to blame liberals for dividing us. And it was literally his political attitude. And the state of Wisconsin is still suffering from Act 10. The state of Wisconsin, as we talked with our friend Dr. Tim Slecker yesterday, we've got an exodus of teachers. We've got a crisis going on here in many different levels. And so much of it is because of your boy Scott Walker. So anyways, jumping back in. as Walker writes at the Washington Times, not a very reputable place, but, you know, it's got Washington in the name. Today, liberals seek to divide Americans, not by class, but by race, sex, and gender. They seek to demonize those who do not follow their rigid philosophy by calling opponents racist, sexist, transphobic, and other names, regardless of the topic. The United States of America became the first country in the world founded on the idea of freedom and self-government. Okay. When the founders declared independence in 1776, they made it clear that all people were created equal, with certain unalienable rights endowed by our Creator. God, not government, bestows those rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, they did write it down in a, what's it called, Constitution. And if I recall, women didn't really count, at least not from a voting perspective. And I guess black slaves counted, but only from a three-fifths perspective. Only from the enumeration of what? Congress people? Anyways, more from the wanker. Prior to the Declaration of Independence, the government ruled by force. This was the case for most governments in the world. The founders defined our right to self-government and equal status before God. I'm less clear that they did that, Scott. Eventually, they spelled out many of these rights in the Constitution. Yeah, I think they did. Including the right to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Yes, they also had a freedom from religion, Scott, but you often ignore that point. Now, many liberals assert that America was founded on slavery. Scott Walker asserts it was not. America was founded on freedom. He loves that word. Over time, it became a more perfect union by acting to protect our freedoms fully, you know, unless you're black. Although some previously criticized slavery, the American people were the first to do something about it. Well, some never, you know, never practiced slavery, Scott, so some didn't have to do anything about it. Now, the first gathering of people who formed the Republican Party was held in my home state of Wisconsin. Yeah, don't remind people, you're not really from here. You're an early transportee. You grew up in Iowa, did you not? Anyways, the birthplace of the Republican Party was in Ripon. They opposed the spread of slavery while Southern Democrats defended it. That was a long time ago, Scott. The first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, issued the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves in the Confederate States during the Civil War. Lincoln, eventually pushed a Republican-led Congress to pass amendments to the Constitution that prohibited slavery and gave former slaves equal justice under the law and the right to vote. Well, the males, women didn't get it for a long time. In the riots a few years ago, which, I mean, he's back to hammering Black Lives Matter. Scott, you have not moved on. In the riots of a few years ago, which resulted from protests organized by Black Lives Matter organizations, you know, Ron Johnson would be very scared if he saw Black Lives Matter coming up the street. Many of the radicals involved took down statues and monuments. One of them was the Hans Christian Hegg. His statue stood outside the east wing of the Wisconsin state capitol. Hegg was an immigrant from Norway. He led one of the first militias to protect freed slaves coming from the north, coming north from the south. He fought and died for the Union during the Civil War. Yet rioters took his statue down and threw the head into a nearby lake. Sadly, it seems to be willful ignorance. You know, the rioters of that evening, I don't think were making a real clear effort to distinguish the history of the man, Scott. A similar situation occurred in Philadelphia, where a statue of Matthias Baldwin was defaced. He was the owner of a railroad business who spoke out against slavery decades before the Civil War. He lost business in the South, but he did not back down from his beliefs. And eventually he built and staffed a school for black students 30 years before the Civil War. He should be revered, yet his statue was a target for rioters. This is what happens when, according to Scott Walker, when Americans, particularly young people, are not taught the basics about the founding history of our nation. Students should learn about objective history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, you're the ugly. They should learn how we compare to other countries in the world. Those who do will be much more likely to love America. Scott Walker, you know, history lessons from you is very revisionist. And I know you love to claim the Republican Party, well, they're the party that freed the slaves. But the party of Reagan and Lincoln is now the party of Donald Trump. And you are fully embracive. You have merged your agenda with Donald Trump. I was at a rally in Waukesha County. I used to spend a lot of time there, Scott. And one of the Trump sycophants, as Trump came and rallied against your former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish that day, but came to town to say, you know, effectively, the Republican Party, the one born in Ripon, Wisconsin, in, you know, our backyard, it's dead. It's dead. And Scott Walker, you were part of killing it. Now, you wanted to be the president oh so desperately. And Donald Trump, well, he crushed you like a bug. 71 days, you didn't last very long, sir. But now, through this revisionist history, you what, want to teach the history of Heggs? I'm sorry. I've lived in the state my whole life, and I took Wisconsin history. They did not teach us individually who the statues at the Wisconsin State Capitol were. And until now, none of them have really reflected any diversity whatsoever. But there has been an effort afoot, and it's soon to come to fruition. Vel Phillips will be the newest statue at the Wisconsin State Capitol. We'll talk about that. We'll talk with you if you call. 844-967-2789. Happy Friday.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crudy on the road, a windy Washura County. And I am joined right now, live via phone, by Dr. John Stanley. John, we're going to talk about a big event coming up, I can't believe, in just 3 weeks on May 4th. The Wisconsin Grassroots Network, and the big event that you guys hold each and every year. How many years has it been, John? And welcome, sir.
Well, this is our 15th annual festival. And generally, we've had it down in Mazamini, but this year we moved it up to Appleton to accommodate some people who really wanted to see it but couldn't make the last week in March. So we've moved it for them, and we've moved it to Appleton.
And where it... We're in Appleton. It's on a college campus, is it not?
Correct. It'll be at the Lawrence University Warch Capert Center, and you can find more about the event and where it is at our WI Grassroots Festival. WI Grassroots Network .com website. And it ought to be a lot of fun. We have 18 breakout sessions, six speakers, including the famous Mike Crute. We have entertainment, and at night we will be having our Wisconsin Revolution. We'll be putting on bands for the youth, and we have Kirsten Keeler for the elder crowd, the older crowd. So there's something for everybody. Festival this year, the theme of it is Our Future, Our Choices, Rural and Urban Together. We're hoping to bring people from all over Wisconsin to come and participate in the festivities.
Now, John, when I say we, I mean typically I and a few of the fine broadcasters from either Devil Radio or WRD in the prior machinations of what we've done here, but a lot of us have come on out, especially when it was at the Wisconsin Heights High School, and we've done broadcast and we've gotten to know your group. For those that haven't been privy or haven't been to a Wisconsin Grassroots Network yet, John, tell people what the organization is fundamentally about. I mean, it's got grassroots in the name. It's a movement of the people, but what's the cause and what's the movement?
Well, we really want people to know what's happening in Wisconsin regarding our 4 E's and an H is what we call it. And that's, you know, the economy, environment, education, and equity, and equality in healthcare. And there's, we generally have people who are very knowledgeable. For instance, this year we have Alan Minsky, who will be speaking on that subject on our future, our choice. As a speaker, he will be talking about what is happening with the progressives around this country and how they're trying to make sure that they work more in the rural areas and are concerned about local concerns such as roads and high capacity wells and all the things that matter that are of an interest to the people in rural areas, things that concern them and really affect them to their daily lives.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine guest live via phone. He is Dr. John Stanley. We're talking about the Wisconsin Grassroots Network, and they're having their event this year in Appleton. It's going to happen all day long on May 4th, apparently all night long perhaps as well, John. Let's talk about how this sort of interacts with politics, if we could. Now, the Wisconsin Grassroots Network isn't specifically organized with either of the parties or any of the parties in mind, but I know that a lot of the rural caucus members of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin have been attendees and certainly are supportive of what you guys have going on there. Do you see this as, what is the relationship with the DPW's rural caucus?
Well, the Wisconsin Grassroots Network is nonpartisan. We are not concerned with politics, or well, we are politics, not partisanship.
Sure.
We are, I mean, I'm the chair also of the Wisconsin of the DPW Progressive Caucus, and a lot of our progressives will be coming and will be taking this on as their event. But WGN is interested in values and of the things that matter to people. We do not, you know, we've invited the Green Party and the People's Party, and we've even invited, in the past, we've invited the Republican Party, but they've never, ever said that they would join us.
Shocker.
So,
yes.
Yes, it's because a lot of what we deal with, as you were talking earlier about the Republicans and that this isn't their party, it used to be exactly what the Republican Party stood for in the 1900s. They were the People's Party. They used to care about things, watchdog groups, and well, even up to Reagan, you know, I remember Reagan standing on a different wall and saying, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, because it was separating people and families. They had a different set of values, and now those values have seemed to be completely eroded, along with honesty and fairness. And we've seen that on the level in the state in Wisconsin, whether they were trying to get rid of, you know, the our justice protozoites, or whether they were trying to push something in to our Constitution that didn't belong. These are things that the people of Wisconsin should matter to them, not as Democrats or Republicans, but just as citizens. And that's what WGN is about. We are concerned about what is happening in our state and what is happening with our country. And we are looking for the values of compassion and mercy and friendship and fellowship and, you know, being a good neighbor. These are things that we believe in strongly. We are not a partisan group. We are a political group, but we are not a partisan group. And we have, we'll be having Dawn Shigoni and her Call for Peace talking about, she's also, and there's some, you know, crossover, because Dawn Shigoni is also the cultural director for, the director of cultural diversity for the Progressive Caucus. But she's been with this festival the longest, longer than I have. I've only been with it for 14 years. She's been with it since the very beginning. Her brother-in-law, Nate Tim, was the this was his brainchild. He created it, and he used to be the rural caucus chair. but we came together out of values and not out of, you know, the politics, but of values and what we cared about. And ever since Walker and, you know, Act 10, which was not about caring for people in Wisconsin or for workers, we have been working to enlighten people as to the truth regarding all those things that I mentioned before, our 4 E's and our H, so that people would know what's happening truly and not, you know, it wouldn't be a matter of, well, you're listening to Fox or you're listening to CNN. It would be a, nope, this is what is actual. This is what is factual. This is what is true.
Well, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates, and I hope what is true is you think I've got a fine guest. He is Dr. John Stanley. The event that we are speaking.
Mike, that's Reverend. That's Reverend John.
Oh, Stanley, I'm sorry. Reverend.
Nope. Hello? Oh, I think I got cut off.
Okay, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Appreciate Reverend John Stanley, and I apologize. I did the Lucy with the football to myself. I had one of the cords stretched here. I'm on a remote location, and I literally unplugged myself from the wall. But here's the point. Please consider attending the Wisconsin Grassroots Network Festival. It's going to happen this year at Lawrence University in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I am going to play a part. I am your midday MC, so I'm going to
have that role. And then I believe I've also got a 15-minute speaking role in the morning. And I'm going to go up there. I enjoy doing it. And I always enjoy when my colleagues in broadcast, specifically, I know Jim Santel's done broadcast from the Wisconsin Grassroots Network. And also my buddy Earl Ingram. Hell, even Dominic's gone out there in the past. So consider attending if you can. I believe there is no cost to attend, although it is, you know, good juju to throw a little cash in the can. And I believe they do have a lunch that they serve each and every year. Traditionally, chili is going to be on the menu, folks. So if you go to the Wisconsin Grassroots Network Festival, again, May 4th, Saturday, tell them Crudy sent you and then, you know, come say hi and share the chili. And we will certainly make more time for you and your phone calls and also potentially speeches from Kamala Harris and maybe Johnson and Trump's election integrity press conference in the 4 o'clock hour. Dom's joining as well. You can join 844-967-2789. I'll try to stay plugged in for the next 2 hours, but it is Friday, you know, so no promises. Could do it again. 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates. Crudy in a windy Washura County, but that was my fault.
All we are is dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Dust in the wind.
Everything is dust in the wind.
Everything is dust.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
I'm sailing away.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Rich, lightly screening your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Crudy waiting on his little buddy Dom to join the party. You know, he's always fashionably late. Thank you, Reverend John Stanley, for joining us and talking about the Wisconsin Grassroots Network Festival. Again, May 4th, consider attending. I will be there. It's super cool. Last piece, I want to get out there during this, you know, let's call it our Wisconsin Power Hour, people. An opinion piece, Dave Zweifel at the Cap Times. GOP succeeds again in making it harder to vote. He's talking about these new referendums that pass, these constitutional referendums. But as he writes, try as I might, I can't understand what's bad about getting more people to vote. But that's apparently the reason Wisconsin has now amended its constitution to make it illegal for any private money to help finance the election process. Everyone from right-wing Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty to the once-liberal Madison Mayor Dave Chaslevic were ecstatic about the passage of the referendum to eschew financial help for cash-strapped municipalities. And the GOP-dominated legislature proposed the ban because its leaders became convinced in their Trump-crazed stolen election theory the grants by the philanthropic Center for Tech and Civic Life helped turn out more Democrats in 2020. Maybe even enough to give Joe Biden his 20,000 vote majority. I'd point out, we are monitoring Florida, where MAGA Mike Johnson and Donald Trump are giving an election integrity press conference. We may do a live listen-in. We'll see. But anyways, back to this piece, Weefel's opinion at the Cap Times. The charity, which is backed by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, awarded the grants to help administer elections amid the COVID-19 pandemic. There were no strings attached, only that the funds be used to help defray the added cost of the pandemic-marred election. Now, Republicans were angry that larger grants went to five of the state's largest municipalities, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, Kenosha, Racine, and Green Bay, to help fund the COVID precautions, keeping more polling places open and, if necessary, purchasing additional equipment. Dozens of rural governments also got grants, but as the GOP noted, not as much per capita. Oh, the awfulness of it all, writes Weefel. It's interesting that somehow the grants funded by Zuckerbergs were painted as coming from liberals. What if a right-wing organization decided to help fund elections? Some supposedly liberal referendum supporters asked. Interesting how many self-proclaimed liberals insist Zuckerberg is a right-winger and that Facebook constantly skews in favor of conservatives. He has been notoriously close-mouthed about his politics. A bigger disgrace, it seems to Dave Zweifel, is allowing our state to fail to provide adequate funding to local governments, forcing them to limit voting places and skimping on Election Day staff, which makes it more difficult for people to vote. Nothing deters voters on Election Day more than long lines at the polls, and that's precisely what we see unless state government gets its act together. Meanwhile, it sits on billions in surplus money, but refuses to help local governments shoulder the cost of providing for, and I point out, small d democracy's foundation, the people's vote. Making it more difficult for people to vote, I'd argue, is a far greater threat to democracy than whether some nonprofit, be it liberal or conservative, helps make the process a bit smoother. But those who have spent nearly 4 years lying about the election fraud and spreading gossip about the safety of the state's time-honored system have prevailed in amending the state's constitution. Now we'll just have to live with it. That's discouraging, says Dave Zweifel, the editor emeritus at the Cap Times. Yeah, I'm a little discouraged by that assessment. Republicans never trying to expand access to the polls, never trying to make it easier, you know, under the claims of equity for rural districts, you know, well, then everyone's got to close. And if the rural districts don't have enough money, rather than funding them further, like other elections officials in larger cities might need to be funded, well, we'll just roll them back. Now, there are still limitations on how late the polls must stay open, but not how many of them, right? Well, every small town in America has at least one polling station open. And if Milwaukee only gets four or five and it's a pandemic, so what? I agree with you, Dave. It can be a problem. We are the devil's advocates. The problem is my little buddy always stiffs till about 4 o'clock. And then I got to rely upon you, our fair audience, to help entertain me until he gets here. So you got to dial the phone or you can use the text line. 844-967-2789. Now, I don't know if you were listening a little bit earlier. I hope you were. And I hope you're sticking around for the whole show. But a little bit earlier today, I included a piece from Scott Walker. And I've always called the man Wanker. And you know that. You listen frequently, I suspect. But Andrew from Verona texted in on the text line. I do try to monitor, even when I'm sneaking up to Washura County. Scotty Wanker, man, all I got to say is F that guy. Well, Andrew, I agree with your assessment of Scott Walker. You know, he wants to blame it on liberals. He broke this state. He literally divided this once great state. And to this day, it is not healed fully, certainly not from the efforts of Act 10, certainly not from his brand of politics. And now we've got a guy going to trial on Monday who's doing an election integrity, press conference here soon. We'll keep you posted, folks. But this is a guy that thought the last one was stolen, or so he claimed, so he misleads. Hell, he incited a riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. And I noted earlier, Scott Walker, very, very nervous about the Black Lives Matter people. You know, always quite concerned about that. But never about the January 6th protesters. Val Phillips, a new Val Phillips statue, and it was spearheaded by our friend Michael Johnson over at the Boys and Girls Club in Madison. We'll tell you more about that statue, but Wanker didn't acknowledge there is a new slightly more diverse statue, the first statue of an African-American to ever appear on the Wisconsin Capitol Square. It's supposed to be enshrined there in June of 2024. Sorry, Heg. Sorry your head got cut off and thrown into one of the lakes here in town. Scott Walker may never recover, but the rest of us, we're moving forward to a happy hour. The Friday edition, air your grievances, dial us up, 844-967-2789. Dom joins now. You join as well.